Welcome in to Faith and Family. I'm your temporary host, Pastor Rod Zwanitzer, coming to you live this Wednesday, May the 8th, 2013, broadcasting live from the historic Studio A, the longest continual broadcast studio in the world. We are proud of that and proud to be the oldest Christian radio station as well, broadcasting around the world. We have listeners I looked at this morning from every state in these United States, and we had about 20 countries listening in today via the web stream. If you're out there on the stream and hearing some shrieking noises and some static, we're having some technical difficulties with our streaming computer, so please bear with us. And we want to encourage you. We're excited. We have a Wi-Fi giveaway contest going on right now for this whole next year, beginning this month for Mom's Day, giving away a Wi-Fi radio once a month. And this month, we're giving away to the person that sends in the best reason on our Facebook page why their mom should get this Wi-Fi radio. You know, Wi-Fi radio, you plug it in like a normal radio. It picks up not only KFUO, but about 20,000 other internet stations. You can listen to it 24/7. All you have to do is have Wi-Fi somewhere. And so you can get the details on our webpage or on our Facebook page. We welcome in today Ben Freudenberg. Most of all and most important of all, he is a son. He is a father. He is a husband and a grandfather. He's currently the division chair of the Family Life Program and professor in Family Life Studies at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, where he also serves as director of the Concordia Center for the Family. And he has been a director of Christian education for over 40 years. So we welcome you back to Faith and Family, Ben.
Well, it's great to be able to speak with you again.
So sorry that we, I guess we messed up on the time. I'd messed up previously in the day. We got the day right, but we messed up on the time. So thank you for being so patient and persevering with us.
It's no problem. I'm just happy to be able to share what God placed on my heart with people that are interested in marriage and the family.
Yeah. Now, you know, marriage is such a given, you would think, to family life. It's being contested severely in our times. And so this whole week, Ben, our theme is marriage. We had on the Synodical President, President Matt Harrison, on Monday, talk about an article he wrote about the state of marriage. Excuse me. And then yesterday, we talked about preparation for marriage with Pastor Scott Stigemeyer, who wrote a book for CPH. Today, we want to chat about, you are the person in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I think is training a lot of family life people to go out and serve God's world and His church.
Yeah, that's right. Concordia University has a family life program, and the family life program is actually developing certified family life educators. We're under the National Council of Family Relations, and we're producing students who serve families in the church. They're called directors of family life ministry. We have a group that would go to the hospital and are working as child life specialists, using their certification in family life education to help families through very trying times with sick children. And we're also producing Lutheran Christian young men and women who are working in the social service arena, like with Lutheran homes for the aging, adoption services, parent education, and the like. And so, yes, we're very excited and very passionate about this institution that God created called the family. And, of course, that starts with marriage.
That's great. And we are going to unload what you are preparing these people for to be these family life ambassadors out there. And you out there, the listener, can participate. You can ask Ben any kind of question you want about family life and marriage or about his program. I'm sure he'd love to talk about that. You can do so by calling in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. We'd love to have you with your questions or comments about family life, about the wonderful program there, Concordia Ann Arbor, or about marriage. Ben, when you are preparing these people to go out into Christ's world and help with marriage and family life, what kind of places would be looking to have these people on their staff?
Well, in the church, there are, in fact, more congregations asking for our students right now than we have students. There seems to be a great interest in the church for having someone trained deliberately to be able to help marriages start on the right foot, to do marriage enrichment through the lifespan. They also are equipped to do like a life stage ministry, like children ministry or youth ministry. And then when they do that, they also bring into it the marriage enrichment and the parent education, or they also help parents understand their role as human sexuality trainers in God's vision and will. Also, they are well trained to help congregations figure out how to help their families in resource management, like time management, stress management, balance between work and family, also economic management, financial management. And so it's a congregation that wants to impact not just a lifespan like a youth ministry or a children's minister, but also incorporate the home as part of that ministry. And so they're seeing that the value of not just doing ministry to an age group, but a ministry to the intergenerational group that lives at their home, and making them and helping them walk that journey of faith and life as a family as well as an individual.
That's great. That sounds like a wonderful objectives. Now, and you say you're in the enviable position right now of having more requests for these people than you have candidates.
Yeah, the church is really struggling today. I think we're all pretty much aware of that. And I think that one of the root causes of the struggle is the breakdown in our understanding of God's positioning of marriage and the family for the development of the next generation of Christians in the world. And so if we can really understand that God created the family as his engine of exponential growth, that as we care for the family and help it work right, the third and fourth generation of offspring will also be deliberately teaching the faith in partnership with the church, modeling Christian marriages, understanding the role of the parent in developing the compass, the moral compass of the child, as well as their athletic ability. The whole concept of helping the family in the society that is Christian thrive through the lens of the biblical narrative, I think people are starting to really see its benefit.
Yeah, as you've talked before on this very program and others, that we've got to change that thinking that the family does nothing else but to take their kids elsewhere for them to be that engine of exponential growth, that God has designed the family as that place. And so the church and schools and other are there to resource that and to help them rather than the other way around. And so we've got to shift that. In this situation, Ben, there probably are hopefully some young people out there or their parents or relatives that, you know, are in that position of the world today of saying, gosh, there's not a lot of attractive positions for young people anymore. We hear the absolute horror story of, you know, thousands and thousands of college graduates with no jobs out there. And now we're hearing here the church can really use more people trained to be these family life advocates. So you know, how, tell us about the program there. How long is it? What do they take? How they can find out about your program there in Ann Arbor?
Okay, the core curriculum, besides the general studies, which every college student would be required to take, consists of 10 classes, and it's interdisciplinary, so it's a very broad undergraduate education that includes lifespan development, like child psychology, adolescent psychology, adulthood and aging. The reason they take those classes is so they can get an idea of what the cognitive, spiritual, emotional, and physical capacity is in each of those lifespans. And that's so critical to helping families thrive, is because Family Life Ministry is really a lifespan of ministry. It starts when they're little and they're having babies. The couples are starting to fall in love, and they get married, they have babies, and then they take them all the way through to be grandparents and retirement, and finally life in heaven with Jesus. So the Family Life Ministry spectrum is this lifespan approach to ministry, and also an intergenerational approach to ministry. Then we add to that parent education, helping students really understand how to develop parent education classes, how to assess those that work well for the parents in their congregation. We have add another class on marriage and society, helping them understand the value of marriage. What the students really love about this program is that they get a two-for-one. They are someday they're taking the class looking at themselves as parents and also family life educators teaching parents. They look at themselves as wishing to be married and what it takes to be in a good relationship, and also teaching others that. So we call that the two-for-one. They also take this lifespan approach to human sexuality and helping the students understand the importance of good education and understanding of godly sexuality, because the culture is so different in its approach to human sexuality these days. So we can't take for granted that the young people, even growing up in the church, understand God's will and God's ways when it comes to human sexuality in our own lives.
Sure. Well, that sounds like a great program. So how many years is it? Two or four, or do you offer both?
No, it's a four-year program.
Okay.
And then but we also want the young people that go through the adults that go through our program to be well-grounded in church work. And so they take five extra classes onto the 10 core in a specific age group. So in children's ministry, adolescent ministry, or senior adult ministry. And so they get their certification in family life education. They also get a lifespan where they can actually do ministry in the church and work in the church with those ages. And then the foundation of all that is the theology and the doctrine of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And so built on that foundation and with the knowledge, skills, and attitudes, we believe that we're preparing students who can really hit the ground running and can begin supporting churches in their vision for ministry.
Wow, and having been in myself in the parish for over 25 years, we know that in today's world, we certainly need to equip our families with all those good things that your graduates sound like they have to bring as wonderful gifts from God. And so, you know, really need to focus in on a lot of these and help our people start to rethink it. You know, anyone that's been in counseling can tell you that a lot of times we need to help people unlearn bad learned approaches. Like I know in premarital counseling, I always ask people, you know, who did you learn the most from about, you know, marriage? And a lot of times it would be father, mother, something like that. And then we talked about what are the things that you learned from your parents' marriage that you really wanted in yours. A lot of times there wasn't a lot, but when I said, what did you learn from your parents' marriage that you don't want in yours, the laundry list was long. And so I think that's what you're talking about, is the family was meant to be those places where we learn the most and copy it. I know even in later life I can see myself a lot in what my parents were doing. And so parents need to realize that. They are the factories. They are the laboratories where the kids learn all this stuff and the rest of the family. And so as you talk about there helping these family life advocates run the whole gamut of the lifespan, they're equipped to really help all those age groups to be good reflectors of Jesus Christ in all their family life.
I think that's really true. I think when I was working in the parish right there at Concordia Kirkwood, and I began working in this area of family ministry, I thought, well, I have the best job in the world. I get to ask families what they need and then help them have what they need so they can make their life better. And what a wonderful journey that's been. And it's amazing how open people are and how eager they are to get the help that they need. And I think the church, wow, we have such an opportunity today as church to stand strong in this area of marriage and the family. And it is just, the culture is not really producing what we would consider the ideal model for marriage and the family. And so we have this opportunity to help them see what a Christian model looks like and to begin living it and to reap the benefits of it.
Right. Now, let's spend some time then talking about areas that of family life that you would prepare your graduates for. How about pre-marriage education? What are you resourcing them to do in the area of pre-marriage?
Well, again, we'd always be in support of the pastor. So our students would always work side by side with the pastor and whatever the pastor would need them to do in that area. And what we prepare them with is the knowledge, skills, and attitudes of like prepare and enrich, the pre-marriage materials that prepare and enrich offer. Also Zoe, which is a group, a Lutheran pastor has designed, and we talk about that, and also C-PREP, which is a Christian preparation for marriage. Once they leave our university, they can go and get certified in any of those in any of those tools so that they can actually use them in their ministry. So we give them the knowledge, we give them the understanding, we point them to the resource, but it would be up to them then after they graduate to go out and get the certification to use those tools in their work.
Do you find, Ben, that with these people coming out that have been exposed to these premarital tools and that sometimes they can even help resource the congregation and the pastor with some of these?
Well, I think that is really true. I mean, they've spent 4 years just immersing themselves in family studies. And so they come to the congregation eager to share what they've learned and can equip the congregation. You also have to realize that they've chosen an area of ministry, so they might be really excited about children's ministry or family and children's ministry or youth and family ministry. So they might get their start working with families of small children and helping with the Sunday school, the VBS, the cradle roll, and having the understanding of how to do that. But at the same time, bring to those families the knowledge, skills, and attitudes they would need for increasing their intimacy in marriage or their parental skills. And so it's kind of a both and. They do the church work piece and also bring with that the family life piece in a lifespan. And again, we always walk with the pastor. I tell my students that their job is to make the pastor look good. And we hope that they can do that for a congregation where they can work in partnership with this team leader.
Good. So they become part of the whole ministry effort there through the called and ordained pastor. And so they're there to support him and his outreach. And I would say most pastors, the majority of us would easily say we are, you know, stretched to our limits and we can sure use all the help we can get, especially in these areas of family life. So, you know, I was just thinking here as you were talking that a lot of times, you know, pastors might not have a time in their development to go into, let's say, an area like pre-marriage as much as they would like. And so when they get out, they are looking for resources. And I know in my career, I changed several times, tried something, didn't seem to really work that well, looking for something else. So these people that come there could easily, you know, tell the pastor, I've been through these, here's some things we can look into, and I can help you explore them and find something that really works for a congregational situation. What, Ben, in your tenure now with all of this, what do you find and the research and everything else that you're looking into and equipping these family life future directors, what do you see as some of the biggest obstacles today in premarital counseling and education?
Well, I think one of the greatest obstacles we face as church is the culture. Today, the culture's view of marriage and the family don't reflect the biblical view of marriage and the family. I mean, and so one of the biggest obstacles is that the culture has done a great job of educating our members, our Christian members, on what the culture believes marriage is or what parenting should be or what human sexuality should be. And so the biggest challenge is to help them see what God says about those issues from His Word so that they can begin reflecting a follower of Christ rather than a follower of culture.
So you're saying one of the big tasks is to challenge what the culture out there is telling people about marriage and family and so forth, and seek to replace that by catechesis and such on what God has to say about marriage and families and parenting and on that list goes, and especially here about marriage. So, Ben, we're going to stop right there, take a quick breather, and then we'll be back to talk more about that area of pre-marriage education. You're listening to Faith and Family. You can be a part of that by calling in with your questions or comments for our guest today, Ben Freudenberg. He's a director of Christian education, been doing that for 40 years, and he's now the division chair and professor of family life at Concordia University in Ann Arbor. So call in with your questions for him in the St. Louis area, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727. Let's hear your questions about the program that is being there in Ann Arbor and what that might involve. If you're in a congregation, call in with those. If you're engaged, if you're about to be engaged, if you'd like to be engaged, if you're married, all of those topics, we want to hear from you and let Ben, with all his years of experience and now as an educator, share them with you. So we're going to take a quick breather and come back here on Worldwide KFUO, Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu. Here at KFUO, we're celebrating moms during the entire month of May. You have a chance to win your mother a Grace Digital Wi-Fi radio. With this Wi-Fi radio, your mom can listen to KFUO 24 hours a day in stereo anywhere in the world. Just go to Facebook.com/KFUO radio to enter. Then post a comment on why your mother should win this Wi-Fi radio. The entry with the most likes wins. Follow the complete guidelines on our webpage at KFUO.org or Facebook page at Facebook.com/KFUO radio. Remember to have your friends go to our Facebook page today, like us today, then have them vote for your entry, maybe another, or they can enter their mothers in the contest as well. The contest will end and the winner will be announced on May 31st. Celebrate your mom with a chance to win her this great Wi-Fi radio from your friends at KFUO, the worldwide messenger of good news. Let's
celebrate. We used to get together every week. She's been home from her last deployment for months now, and I haven't seen her once.
He's just been different since he got back from Iraq. One minute he's ready to go, and the next he doesn't want anyone around.
The nightmares are back and seem to be getting worse. Shouldn't he be sleeping better after all these years?
A lot of people don't understand what veterans go through during their service or when they come back, and that's okay.
But everyone can help.
You can make a difference in the life of a veteran.
You stood by us when we were in uniform, so stand by us now.
Like my brother did, when he wouldn't take no for an answer.
Like my wife did, when she asked the right questions.
Like my friend did, when she made the call.
Take a stand for those who served our country.
If you're a veteran in crisis, or know one who is, the Confidential Veterans Crisis Line is here for you. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. Chat at veteranscrisisline.net or text 838-255.
Former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford has thanked God for reviving his political career in a special election to Congress Tuesday.
I am one imperfect man saved by God's grace.
Sanford saw his political career disintegrate 4 years ago when he disappeared for 5 days, telling his staff he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. He returned to admit he had been in Argentina with his mistress, a woman to whom he's now engaged. Sanford later paid a $70,000 ethics fine for using public money to fly for personal purposes. His wife Jenny divorced him. At his victory party, Sanford said he wanted to acknowledge
a God not just of second chances, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth chances.
A God he credited with guiding his political resurrection.
Not that he said you're it, but what he said was, not that you'll win, but that you'll learn.
He said South Carolina's voters had extended him grace that was a reflection of God's grace. I'm Steve Coleman.
Crisis arising, the devil's the play. Moving the mountain that got in the way. Rebels and legions to find the plan. Deciding the fate of the family of man.
Welcome back to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. We give God great thanks to for the underwriter of Faith and Family, Concordia University, Wisconsin. And just recently, they have become associated with Concordia University of Ann Arbor, where our guest today is a professor, Ben Freudenberg. Ben, a new relationship with another sister university in the Concordia University system, the people up at Concordia University, Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, they're really making it possible for us to become even stronger as an outreach in this area of the United States. And really, it's like a big brother. They've been at this for a long time, and they know how to help the youngest brother in the Concordia system, almost, one of the younger brothers, to really make a difference. And so, in fact, what they're encouraging me to do and what I'm transitioning into is the director of the Concordia Center for the Family, which will be somewhat of an institute that on family that will provide research and training and opportunities and resources to resource our congregation in the area of family life. And so I'm we are really excited about our future with Mequon.
Great, great. You know, when we're going to try to arrange to do a live broadcast from up there in Mequon, and no reason why at some point we can't do the same for Concordia Ann Arbor there, which was, you know, in my stomping ground for the last 21 years being there in Dearborn. We spent a lot of time in Ann Arbor. Love it. So maybe sometime we'll have to do a live broadcast for with your Family Life Center up there.
We would love it. We would love it.
Yeah, and my wife would love it, too. We could come up there and go to some of our favorite restaurants there. Ben, we were chatting before we took the break, and we encourage our people to call in their questions and comments on marriage and family life and your program. We're talking about pre-marriage education and the struggle that we in the church today have against the culture. You know, so many of our people, they're just inundated daily, bombarded, if you will, with messages about marriage and pre-marriage that are just not true. And then, you know, we know when they get out into the world of commerce and education and wherever they're employed and their communities, they're inundated with these friends who are all culturalized by all that. And so the church really has to step up and be the one that the challenges that those false cultural beliefs and practices about marriage. And so much in our day, we're seeing that, aren't we? So how do you work there to expose your students to that that strong contest between the culture and the church?
Well, one way we do it is in the classroom. That's typical, but our students also take what we call practicums, and they take two practicums in their junior year, which is on-site training at churches, hospitals, or community agencies. And there they get to rub elbows with the church professionals in real-life situations. And, of course, that would include pre-marriage and marriage issues. And then in their senior year, right before they go into their careers, they take a six-month internship, depending on what the internship is, in the church, hospital, or the community, so that they can be a full-time worker as a practice, kind of like vicarage, before they actually take their first position. And so not only do they get the knowledge, skills, but they get the hands-on training through the program.
Are you looking for opportunities for those type of practicums and, you know, 6 months, you know, interims out there? Or are you always looking for congregations and organizations such that would be looking to have a an intern coming in?
Oh, we're always looking for it. But here's what we find, and this is a tribute to the young Christian men and women who go here and are in our Family Life program. We compete for those internships with Eastern University or University of Michigan, and sometimes the agency gets a little frustrated with the internship because it's a lot of work. But if they know it's a Concordia student, they always have an open arm for us because they know our kids aren't there just to put in hours. They're there really to serve, and they do so with such gusto. And they do it, of course, because they have this Christ that lives in them, and that's just their nature. They want to share and care for their brother and sister in the world, and so they demonstrate that. So on the one hand, yes, we're always looking for places to have that experience for our students. On the other hand, we have many agencies that are seeking our students because of their heart for Christ in the service organization.
Well, that's wonderful. So Christ to the world through these young people that are passionate about Christ and what he can do for families, that you're highly sought even among all the rest, because these young people and even older that are in the family program, they're out there to work hard and to help families. It sounds like, is it true, Ben, that you're kind of restricted in this internship and the practicums in right there in the Ann Arbor area?
Well, we are in the social service area, especially in the social service areas in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, they have many social service agencies. And with the Lutheran Homes of Michigan and Lutheran Family Children's Services, who have really stepped up and encouraged our students to seek practicums and internships in their agencies, there are many, many opportunities. But as our program grows, we hope that that will become a problem, where that will really have to go beyond the community. And of course, in the church, we send interns all over for the church work internships.
Well, I can tell you, because I look at the analytics every day, we have quite a following listening up in Michigan. So if they're in the Michigan area and their organization or congregation would be looking for a practicum or an internship, or even have some young people there looking at this as a possible career path, they can check it out with you. And we're going to put a link right to your program there, Ben, so if anybody's interested, they can get a hold of you, be they prospective student or supporter or looking for an intern, and that would be great.
Well, and we really see our university, our program, the Family Life program, as a part of the church. We want to serve the church, and we want to be a resource to the church. So we see our role as a partner with our local congregations and districts, and we want to provide whatever we can to support them in their ministry.
Great. And as we've talked to it here before, there's so many needs out there. The demand is high, if you will, that the people of God be in some cases just really catechized in this whole area of marriage, and we're being so challenged in this area. We started off the week talking with President Harrison about the cases now before the U.S. Supreme Court, and what might happen from that. And as we chatted, the church is not going to give up, no matter what the Supreme Court rules, of being faithful to what God has instituted in marriage, and because we know that's the best for all people. I'm sure your students start to see so much, not only in the classroom, but in getting out into this agency work and into congregations where they rub shoulders with all kinds of people, all kinds of family life situations, all kinds of marriage situations, and all the rest. So I imagine it's a real eye-opening experience for them. And do some of them that graduate from your program and get out into the world of this, do they continue to make contact and talk with the faculty and the students there?
Well, in fact, we just had an event today where many of our students returned that are working in the field, and they were witnessed what we call a poster session on marriage and the family. And so, yes, we continue to use those graduates and use them as resources for our students to grow through. I'm standing in this room, and here are some of the topics that were discussed by our students with these professionals: cohabitation, the church fights back, communication is always louder than words, and what that was about was how in the world communication is so important in lifelong relationships. The alcoholic father and the impact it has on male children, gender roles in our society, what you were talking about, and what we as church can do. One young man was very interested in inner city family ministry and about how gangs have become the family and what he can do in the future to work with inner city family systems. And it just goes on and on. And so it's a real rich environment to really struggle with the issues that face families today and actually think about solutions. What are we going to do as church to meet those needs?
You know, it's wonderful, my hearing all that, and I imagine our listeners, Ben, because, here at Worldwide KFUO, we're really about, furthering the family in God's great plan. And, you know, those topics are of great interest to us. And so I know a lot of people out there. And so a pastor or a congregational leader or such that is concerned about some of these topics, and I know they are, I've talked to a lot of them, they might even talk to your institution about a speakers bureau or somebody that could come in and talk with them and maybe even possibly consult with them and help them along, right? I don't know if you did any of that, but I can see a huge need for that.
What the Concordia Center for the Family is going to really do is provide those kind of connections for churches. And so here's one of the major, just major areas we find lacking in the church, and that's a theology of marriage and the family. And to help our staff and our congregational members really catch God's vision for this institution of marriage and the family.
Yeah, and that's so necessary that we be clear and really know what it is what is our theology on marriage and all the rest. I know,
right?
That...
And not only that, but what we're seeing is that so many of our couples who are members of our churches are cohabitating before they get married. And we're asking the question, well, why is that? And where did they learn that cohabitation was okay? And what we're discovering is that the culture has just overwhelmed them, and they've not been really had the opportunity to see God's vision for that, and how damaging all the social science has discovered through research cohabitation can be in lifelong relationships.
And I know, Ben, that in the congregation that my wife and I joined here, they had a huge problem that was splitting the congregation over cohabitation. And so when the new pastor came in, he sat down with the elders and they put down a written policy about it, agreeing we're going to execute this and we're going to be in total agreement on it. And we've had him on last week when our topic was premarital preparation. And he talked about what he ran into and how it's going now. And just that, as you expressed, so many young people are so brainwashed in this other way, you know, kicking the tires and all that, and not understanding what they're getting into, what it's all about. And so the church really needs to do a better job of catechizing and getting the word out there. And I'd like to hear what you're saying about this new center. So if you have questions out there about this new center for family life that Ben is working on with some other people, program in family life studies, interns, or just the trends in pre-marriage and marriage, you got a chance still to call in, 314-505-7850, or worldwide, 1-800-730-2727, or email us. It's an easy email address, family@kfuo.org. You can even do them after the show is over and you listen to this out on the archives, and we will pass them on to Ben, whoever the guest is, and ask them to respond to you, because we're all about that. Now, what are you doing then with your students, Ben, about marriage enrichment? What are you preparing them for in that area?
Well, in course, we talk about all the essential things that go into marriage, and one is communication. How do we help couples learn how to communicate? And we talk about that in the form of in every class we teach, because really good communication skills, what we call is the grease that makes the relationship work. So in marriage enrichment, we're always looking at how we can embellish those skills in communication, conflict resolution. We use communication to resolve conflicts. And then we're also doing enrichment, you know, parent education. What people don't realize is that one of the issues in our marriage is how we have a united view for parenting. And that marriage satisfaction really has a lot to do with a unified approach to parent parenting children. And I always tell my students that, you know, you're not just marrying your partner, you're marrying your parenting partner for life. And this becomes a major issue that you're going to be dealing with throughout your whole marital life. You need to have good skills in that and a unified set of skills.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea of marriage enrichment isn't just about the couple relationship, but it's how money matters impact marriage, or how our sexuality, how we treat each other as male and female, impact. And then also this whole idea of how throughout marriage we tend to kind of get cold and prickly in the relationship, and how do we reignite that relationship, that marital relationship, over time, and how to identify the danger signs of isolation. And so, again, they get this, what I would call a starter kit, which they then bring to the congregation, which they can, through continuing education, grow and develop as they mature in their profession and career.
And as you were talking there, Ben, I was thinking how vital communication is in every area of our life and world, but especially in marriage, and how sometimes I think, especially in our day, and you know, I'm guilty of this, the stress and anxiety of your work day and everything else builds up, and then when you come home to your spouse, you don't have a lot. You don't have a lot of emotional strength and energy. You don't have a lot of patience. And you know, so I've learned the hard way, don't talk a lot of important things until you can kind of reduce that stress level and really be an active listener. You know, I've learned to do that, you know, and so as you well aware, communication is such a vital area to a good, healthy marriage. And we know even as children of God, that's what we have to be better is as not trying to talk to God, but be quiet and let him talk to us, you know. And so how good it is for marriage. And I love to hear what you're doing there with equipping these people and resourcing them to go out to the congregations and do likewise. We're coming to the close here, Ben, and we've appreciated so much you coming on, and just great to hear all the wonderful things that are going on there in the family life studies at Concordia University Ann Arbor, and also this new Concordia Center for the Family. Did I get that right?
That's correct, and the name is what it means. We are a center for all the Concordias and all the churches and districts, and we hope we can be a great resource based here at Concordia University Ann Arbor to help the church really figure out how to be better at supporting Christian marriage and Christian families through the lifespan.
Ben, let me ask you this. Are you going to have a presence at all with that emphasis at the Synodical Convention?
Well, if we would be invited, we sure would.
I was going to say, if you're there, we're going to be broadcasting live. And so we'd love to have you on to talk more about this. But, you know, in any case, we're going to keep the connection going between the two of us. And we'll look forward to maybe getting into Ann Arbor and talking more directly about this center. Maybe with a little time. Give us a good pitch here. What congregations throughout the synod, if they're interested in assistance or being resourced with the Center of for the Family, what is it going to be about? How do they get a hold of you? What kind of things are you interested in teaming up with them about?
Well, we're just beginning to launch the center. We have a board of advisories that are national from many different districts, one right there in St. Louis. And so we see it as a national center. And what we hope to do is to resource a congregation in the area of marriage and the family to provide them with help as needed and training. Right now, we have already in place networks called family-friendly partner networks that are reaching out to different regions and equipping congregations. We've already worked in 70 congregations across America and in Asia. We hope to do research. We have one project that we'd really love to partner with districts in is church work family health, and to really get a sense of how we could help our church workers have vitalized relationships. And maybe we'd even find that they are really vitalized and have something to celebrate.
That's wonderful. We're talking about topics here for Faith and Family, and that's one of them. So when we do, I'm going to give you a shout.
That'd be great, because we've done this really intensive survey in these 70 congregations and have a composite that helps us understand marital health, parental health, spiritual health, any kind of influence of violence or impact of violence in the family. And it also gives us a good idea of sexuality and also adulthood and aging and caregiving to senior adults.
And those are just so vital and all flow out of what you're doing. And so it sounds like this center is really focused well. And, it's exciting for me that in a small, humble way, Worldwide KFUO might be able to, let a lot of people out there know that this is out there for them, for their families, for the families in their congregations and in their communities and in the Synod and in the world. I heard, you did some work in Asia, and, we're seeking to go more worldwide, and we're getting that. And so it's neat that we can let these people out there know that you're there for them and have a lot to offer, and we just need to get the two of you talking. So exciting stuff going on.
Well, we'd love to partner and just be a part of KFUO. It's been a wonderful ministry in its whole history to the church and to the world, and we would love to be a partner with you.
And as you well know now, that one of our big emphases is the family life. And so we really appreciate, Ben, your spending time. This is the second time we've had you on, and we look forward to many more. You've got so much to offer us and for the church and for the world. And so thank you so much for being our guest today, and we look forward to having you back.
Well, it'd be my pleasure. And I just say this with my whole heart, as God's people, stay strong. Understand God's vision for ministry, that it's not by accident that marriage is so important to the faith development of the next generation. And I just wish all God's people the courage to stand strong in His Word.
I think that strengthening is really necessary for our time. So thanks again, Ben, and I love what you said about the family and the marriage being God's engine of exponential growth. And we pray that exponential growth on the Family Life Studies and the center there in Ann Arbor. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, and God bless.
That was Ben Freudenberg. He's the director and the chair of the Family Life Program and a professor there in Family Life Studies at Concordia University Ann Arbor, also the director of the Concordia Center for the Family. That's all of the Concordias. And so we have a link right to his stuff on our website, kfuo.org, the Faith and Family page. Thanks for being on. Tomorrow we're going to go worldwide. We're going to have a married couple from India who are now living here in St. Louis, Missouri. The husband is a doctoral student at Concordia Seminary. They're going to talk about marriage in India and in Asia. So that'd be fascinating to kind of get out of our cultural scene, see what marriage is like in another place. Thanks for joining in Faith and Family today. Check out our webpage and our Facebook page with our Wi-Fi giveaway for Mother's Day. Join us tomorrow here on Worldwide KFUO with Faith and Family.